July the 12th, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is the Ramadan conversation, The Spirit Never Dies, lecturer, Imam Warasuddin Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com. DrMirajSpeaks.com, and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. But before going forward, we want to thank our technician, Eugene Muhammad, for his great work that he's doing to keep this program moving in the right way. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Imam, you once said a few years back that Jesus was an enthusiast. Yes, that's what my father told us. He said, Mr. Farad, whom he referred to as our Savior, told him that Jesus was not even a major prophet, that he was a religious enthusiast. He said that was what Mr. Farad told him. I believe that he told him that, but knowing Mr. Farad now, as I know him, if he told him that, he told him that to try to free them from Jesus Christ. He knew that he had won their hearts and that if he had put Jesus down, they would also put him down. He saw Jesus in their hearts as a problem for Islam because in the church, they had Jesus as a son of God and God. So I believe that Mr. Farad really told him that. But I know Mr. Farad loved Jesus Christ, and I know Jesus Christ, just as what the Quran says he was, as a prophet and a messenger, and as a spirit and a word from God. So I know he believed that, but the kind of man he was, a man inspired by Sufis to use strategies and signs rather than straight talk, to bring a people from a situation that seems almost impossible, to put them on the path of God. I don't believe he was a Sufi himself, but I know he read up on the Sufi. He knew their philosophy and their strategies, and I do believe that he applied them. Not only do I know that, I know also that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Mr. Farad told him, and others too, not just him, but Mr. Farad told those close to him in his circle of associates that he had where my father was a special guy in that circle. He told them that the one who was giving charge, Mary, in the Bible, Zechariah. My father said he told him that, if you are looking for me, I'm in Zechariah. Mr. Farad was referring to the book of the Bible called Zechariah. So he said more than that, or more than once, but the last time I heard it was after I had been accepted back. It was at his dinner table. So later on, I had a hunch or something pushing me like a hunch that I'd better read Zechariah. something must be there. So I read it. I had read it before, but I was never looking for something that would help me understand Mr. Farrar's presence among us better. So I read it, and you know, the same thing is in the Quran, that's in the Bible, that Zechariah was not to use his own thinking and taking care of Mary, the sign of how he was going to be successful and taking care of Mary was that he should fast, and while fasting, he should not speak to anybody, except by sign. Illa Ramza. That's the Quran, and it means except by sign. But there are different signs. Ramza is a sign. It means hints that are not spoken. So you give hints without speaking, or the speaking itself is speaking to something else, and you have to be turned on to that kind of thinking that is desired in this situation, to know that this is a speaking over here, but that's not the reality, signaling us to another reality. So you take that language as signals and signs that are signaling you to go to another reality, not the reality you are looking at here. Do not speak except by signs. Illa Ramza. The question, Zechariah, Mary was put in his care. So Mr. Farrar was the kind of in that role with what he was trying to do. Brother Imam, yes, exactly. So she's a woman, Maryam, peace be upon her. And as a figure, she represents innocent in church or the innocent in the congregation of Jesus Christ. Now, mind you, she gave birth to him, so she was before him. So that's a pure order of religious people that had nothing but good intention. They were very righteous people, devoted to serving God and finding what he wanted for them on this planet Earth. They wanted to know, where do you want us to go, God? Mary represents that. So in Catholicism, isn't Mary the church? Is the church of Jesus Christ? Although Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ, she is also the church. So when Jesus was on the cross living, them passing away, he said, behold your mother. She was in the crowd. He meant, don't look at me anymore. I'm gone. Behold your mother. When Jesus left, what did he leave with them? Except the congregation, the church. And they called it Mary. So the church was Jesus Christ, but it was also Mary. These Catholics that are with us, the folklore, they really know or identify Mary as the church. So really, it's the congregation of the righteous, devoted believers. When you have people righteously devoted to God, you can't change them. You can't take them away from that devotion. Before Christianity, they were in this devotion. And the people remained in that devotion. So they were distinguished from the Jews because they were of this mindset. Most of the Jews were trying to figure out how to get the world. But those people were not of that kind of spirit. They were pious, wandering worshipers of God. And the Jews have always had among them that kind of people who were spiritually more than material. These people were devoted to serving God. Well, on this earth, and tried to find out what does he want for mankind on this earth. That was their search. So Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, is the people. And there is evidence in research by archaeologists and others find more reality to support the beginning of Jesus Christ and his following, and they came up with the name Eason. Eason, they believe, that the people who originally formed to support the leadership of Jesus Christ was people called Easons. I don't know if they were called Easons or not, but I like the language because Eason says inherit quality, inherit life before it is discolorated, before it becomes what we see in the world. So if that's what he was formed from, then he was from original creation of both the Quran and the Bible, traces Jesus beginning back to the original creation. So the Bible says that he was of Joseph, and there was this parent, and that parent going on back to Adam, it says, who was created by God. So the Christian church says that the Jesus Christ is the second Adam. His origin is traced back to Adam. So who was not created by the world or by man, but was created by God? So this is the Mary. And the Jesus, the Mary, is the pure followers, unadulterated. They have not been touched by man of this world. And they were praying for God to show them the way. God answered their prayers with the blessings of Jesus Christ. A man who was not moved or motivated by the world, but only by his pure essence, and he became a spirit and a word in the world. That's Jesus Christ. I could get on TV and preach this and have a big following if all can support me and get me a channel. I will support you. I will do everything I can. Brother Iman, I guarantee you I could get a big, big following. But I can't do that. God has another work assigned for me. But I guarantee you it would be a big following. People from on high will come and join us. Jesus Christ is what you just explained to us up to this point of him not being taught of the world, then coming into the Spirit of God. The Quran also makes mention that God put his Spirit into him, into Jesus Christ. Now, in my thinking, I see you in that light. You are a universal man. God's Spirit is into you. Iman, I understand Jesus Christ saw himself in Adam, and I see myself in Adam, not in Jesus Christ. I see myself in Adam, and I see myself in Muhammad, because Allah created Muhammad. So this isn't the Muhammad that was born of flesh and blood from the mother of Amina. This is the Muhammad that Allah created. Allah created Muhammad, and he can create whatever he will. Brother Imam, some things I tell you all I have the proof of, but to me it's reality. I know that Allah has shown me Muhammad's life, the man in his complete picture. And his complete picture was much too much for those newly converted pagans that he was preaching to, who, when he was on earth, to come in time, and it's just coming right now. The scholars in Islam are coming to see Prophet Muhammad better, and a lot of them are stopping this crazy hang-up that they have with the West, where they have to be in some kind of tug of war with the West. A lot of them are giving that up, men and women, more women scholars than men. They are giving it up, and they are starting to free their minds to see a big field of work that Allah opened up to them, to us, through his servant Muhammad, the last prophet. So I see him in his big dimensions. So the old man, Muhammad Abdullah, my friend and my father's friend before mine, he was very dissatisfied with the way the Ahmadiyyas perceived the Prophet Muhammad and the Muftis, Kuftura, who passed recently. Some things, he was very, very alone, almost among Muslim leaders of the world when it comes to having the real picture of Prophet Muhammad in his mind. Muhammad was much bigger than the Muhammad that the Muslim world has given us in the mind of Kafturu, and also in the mind of Muhammad Abdullah. So I just mentioned them, but I believe there are others too that I have quoted that I have gotten acquainted with, one or two others that I felt that from. So this is a sign said by my life that I am sharing with you all right now. I have come to know Muhammad so completely and so clearly that I feel there is nothing in this life that I don't know. Now, that's strange for me to believe as a rational person, but that kind of reality is with me. Not only him, but Mr. Farad too. If God is with you, whatever God can see, he can give it to you. So the language is real. The language is, I am giving you the logic. So there is logic for it. It's real. But if your faith isn't strong enough, you may say, oh, no, that didn't happen. Well, you all can say that didn't happen. Then please don't even comment now. You could say, oh, that never happened. I am not hurt. I am not made uncomfortable. I don't think, oh, they didn't believe me. That's fine. Whether you guys believe me or not, I like you just as you are. So I am sharing this with you all because this is my reality. I studied Mr. Farad, and I think I know his whole life better than anybody on earth. I know all about him, and the same thing for Muhammad the Prophet. 1300 or 1400 years before Mr. Farad, Jesus Christ too. Brother Imam, I remember when you said long time ago and you made this statement, and I accepted it, then I accept it now. And that is when you said that in reference to the prophet you were talking about, and you said that we should not look for the prophet of yesterday that have been passed on and gone 2,000 years ago to come back here. But if you believe in God, all Allah has to do is place what that prophet had in him into another person. And when you look out there and you see them operating and you see them working, and you may say, oh, he looks just like Jesus, or he reminds me of Muhammad. And that's the way Allah can put it into us. So if we study the scripture and the history and the prophet's life, and if we observe you and listen to what you are saying, we shouldn't have no doubt. I don't have any. Imam, thank you. Praise be to Allah. Well, I said that back then, and I recall that was a long time ago, and I was feeling it then. That's what I was feeling here happening inside of me. I was coming from what was already an active inside of me that was convincing me that whatever was in that person, I was getting it, not getting to be it, but getting it to know It's so that I can more freely do what I had to do. The reality. That's my reality. So when you hear me talking about these things, scriptures, in my reference, but not the source of my knowledge, or revelation, the source of my knowledge, and revelation is God himself. And the activity in me is the activity that is required by the nature of my own being and soul. Brother Imam, long days I asked you, who is the Son of Man? You said, you already know. I see that God has blessed us through you, and you are the light for humanity. So we are talking about the scholars of these other countries coming to agreement. I say it's happening as a result of you. You created the ripple in the water. Praise be to Allah. Brother Imam, I'm a product of our experience as a people, rejected and then searching for the truth, like the group called the Essence. Not just Muslims, but Christians too, searching for the truth, wanting to know where God wants me to take this life. The Bible says, and Jesus motivated, and Jesus' mother was told to flee. They were pursuing her, and they were pursuing her because they wanted to get rid of her child. So she was told to flee to Egypt with your child. By some strange happening, God put Mr. Farad in my life, and Mr. Farad took us to Egypt with our lives. And for a people of essence nature, who are searching for the destiny that God wants for us on this earth, struggling with questions that are unaware and some that appear to be unawareable, is the worst form of oppression. It is the most powerful form of oppression. So for our minds, we were under great oppression. Allah, as a planner, put Mr. Farad in our lives, and then Mr. Farad put us in this very difficult religion to understand or to make sense of. So we were under that, and that was the new oppressor on us. Now, not on those who just wanted to be big shots, that wanted to think they were better than other people, black power, black supremacy, and all of that kind of stuff. No, there was only oppression on the mind of the real serious ones who wanted the understanding and wanted that understanding to be approved by God. That's us in the belly of the whale, or us in the oppressive Egypt, where the language confounds us and defeats where the language confounds us, and defeats every effort of our rational mind to arrive at the answer we want. So this is the new oppressor. This is the new Egypt. Flee to Egypt with your child. Jesus Christ says, and I come treading the winepress alone. So the winepress, that means pressure, the wine pressed alone. So the juice of the grapes is going to be made wine. And wine tastes good and even makes your spirit and even makes your inside feel good. It makes you feel so good inside. But that's the same wine can befog your mind. I come pressing the wine press alone. So what is the Bible saying? And what am I saying here now? That the effects of this kind of teaching that is so difficult to understand on your mind can be like wine and take you out of your right mind. But if you can keep your good mind and work with the ideas and symbols that can take away your good senses and make you dizzy in your head, if you can remain faithful and rational long enough, eventually you will be able to drink this, and it will have no effects on you before your mind. So the effects would be to clear your mind. The same thing that works makes the average non-believer or misguided person drunk, won't make you drunk. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Maraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. So it clears up your senses. And Jesus Christ said, I come treading the winepress alone. So he is saying that the innocent, that a lot that is not, is what needed to bring the truth out of these cloudy matters. And if you don't have this innocence, you can't do it. Leave it alone to my innocence. Nobody else can do it. And that's the truth. Look how many we had of all of these black coffee drinkers and fasting brothers in the Nation of Islam, Crazy Jabba or Herbert, and all these trying to get the knowledge, and my brother going to Egypt for Arabic, and he comes back home and has nothing for us, nothing to help us. But Wallace D. Muhammad, the one that was named, the only one that was able to drink the wine and clear up his head, praise be to Allah. Brother Imam, I would be correct in my thinking if I think that we should see you as being answers to Abraham's prayer, and that Allah has given us one that is able to teach us the language and the meaning of Scripture, the wisdom, not just for us as African Americans, but you teach it for all of us. Imam, I understand your question, but see, the answer to that given when Muhammad came into this mission. When Muhammad came into his mission, the answer for all the worlds was given. But Muhammad said that darkness is going to come on his own following. And as it begins in the first time, that it is how it will be repeated, or that it is how it will come again. And he said it will come again on the poor, meaning after darkness has come on his following, and the light comes on again. The poor will be the first to receive and benefit from the light. And the poor mentioned in Scripture are not just the poor in material, they are the poor in knowledge of Scripture. They are also the poor, so those who think they know, they can't get it. They are off track. They already think they know, so they can't get it. But for the poor person, in a time of mental agony and strain for religious thinking, in the world and in Muhammad, following in that time of darkness and poverty, the Spirit shall move on the face of the water. And God is going to say, let there be light. And the word is regenerated. Praise be to Allah. So I know it's a regeneration for us, and for us, it is the first time we've come into clear knowledge of the world. But I do suspect that what has happened to us is the opportunity for a new start, a new life on this planet Earth for all the Muslims in the world. Imam, do you think that the other Muslims in the world are going to come around to accept your understanding and what Allah has blessed you with? Well, you know what the Spirit is moving me to give you as a reply? I will tell you what the Spirit is moving me now to give you as a reply. No, no comment. They are not worth it. They are not worth us even wondering if they are going to come or go north or south or east or west or stay where they are or find a deliverance amongst themselves or look at us and get direction. They are not worth it. They are not worth us worrying about their circumstances or whether they are going to support us or not. Tells me that God doesn't want us to waste our time even thinking about that. I have no desire, and I am not moved in any way to even reflect on such thoughts. We just do what we have to do, and Allah will take care of the rest. And I think it's because the shape that they are in right now, we are better off without them. Brother Imam, we really thank Allah for you. And I remember you saying to us that one thing that we don't do enough that we should be doing when we make our salat is we should ask Allah to strengthen our faith. That was a long time ago when you made that statement, and I was asking Allah to strengthen my faith, but not near as much as I should. And now I do it every time I think about it or make a salat. I ask Allah to strengthen my faith, to give me the strength to bear these burdens that may come upon us. And I pray for you, and I also ask Allah in my prayer. Sometimes I heard you say in the class, yeah, you did, and I have been doing it ever since I heard you say it. And that is, I ask Allah to take out my life that which he would not have it in my life and place in my life what he would have in my life. I do that. And I really hope one day I will be in a position to be a real asset and a help to you in this work. Imam, well, you are. You are, and the future is going to be better for all of us. We will have bigger and better opportunities to make contributions to our own life, where we free our own life from all these falsehoods and misconceptions in our life, but also to make a great contribution to the world of mankind. It is going to come. It is coming. Guaranteed. Different people at different times. I am talking about the people who search for God's way. For man on this earth, they look at the same things that others before them looked at, and they came up with compatible language. So the language is compatible, but not exactly the same. So the scripture will have what these people saw for this particular time and what people saw at a later time, and even in a projection, people imagine were going to be the reality. See, this is nature of scripture. I was talking about the understanding of vicar. Starting in the original nature of the Bible, says a baby. Baby gives perfect praise. Isn't that what the Bible says? Out of the mouth of babies come perfect praise. Aren't you glorifying God and praising him with these fingers? You start with the baby finger, and the baby finger is the first finger. The original innocent nature inside us that comes when every baby is born. He is born innocent. He is not guilty of anything. You start down here in the nature, in the root of the life, and you come up to that, to above surface, the roots. They are under the earth. And then the part that comes up is the stem, but the movement is going straight up, trying to bring that plant straight up, perpendicular. Lastly, you come to the circle. So I told you what they represent, but they also represent in the gospel the plain palm tree. and in the Quran, a date tree. So these trees, they usually grow up very big. They don't give their fruit until they are high up. They don't give fruit until the growth stops growing straight and goes out, reaching outward as far as it can reach all around. So when your vision goes like that, stick straight to what is right. At some point in the high height, God is going to open your vision to you to see that you need to branch out and give to more than just yourself. When you branch out and give to more than just yourself, you're branching out, your branches go out to give to others. Then the fruits appear and it's clusters and it is so nice and sweet. So when the people saw Jesus Christ, they had been doing just that. But when they saw Jesus Christ, they recognized that Jesus Christ was the one that would call them to that nature, to that original nature, and to the straight path and the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Like that, three going up. And would be a sign himself of that generosity that God wants in man. When they saw that he was the leader, they threw palms, branches to his feet and made a path for him and his donkey, as if they were saying, ride your donkey here over our palm tree. What they are saying is, we submit our knowledge to you. You are our leader. It's beautiful. That's a great picture. And a beautiful picture that Jesus Christ was riding a donkey. This country. This community. This community This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj speaks. So Bell was riding the donkey. So when the donkey saw the angels in the pathway with the flaming sword or rebelled against his master, and question his master. Why have you stand, the Bible said. So the donkey spoke with a man's voice. And it only means that the people that have been carrying the burden of the world finally found a just rider. Now Jesus Christ is on the back of the donkey. But actually, who is that really on the back of that donkey? On the back of that donkey is the donkey's soul. But now his soul has been liberated. God has liberated his soul. And now the same soul that uses to push him and make him a speak animal for the world has now been liberated. And it's on his back riding him as he dies. And now he's transformed. He is no more donkey. He is a man. So that's what has happened. God has liberated our soul and put our souls on our backs, new and fresh, free. It isn't that same soul no more. It isn't the soul of our people anymore. No, their souls is riding them down, most of them. But God has revealed our soul and put it on our backs as our rider. And you know, a khalifa means one who is orientated from the back, from the rear. So it's a great sign. I said all of that to say we have been freed and we have become our own khalifas. The same soul that wouldn't let us rise above the status of a donkey in the world. Now, mind you, this is in the world. So this is not off in some separate place. No, This is in the sight of the world. We were the donkeys. A good picture of this in the Bible, it says Rachel, when she was going to the place where they were to have their life reestablished, she was riding a camel. And she had the treasure chest with her on the camel. And with her was some other camels. But she was the boss, lady riding the head camel. The camel and the head of the train. Behind the camel was horses. And behind the horses was donkeys. So you know we always said, they always made us laugh. That was a complaint of our people. They always put us last. That's the position of the donkey. And also did not open up the opportunity for us to get equal knowledge or have equal access to higher knowledge. They kept us out of their best school and everything. So the picture in the Bible, don't think about the world. Think about the people struggling for God in their circumstance in the lead where the camel. Why a camel? Why not an elephant? Or why not some other big, strong animal? A camel because a camel is known to take people safely across the desert, and the people of God, they are a people who thirst for understanding. And the camel takes them across the barren world because you can have oak trees and cedars, and you can have farms and grazing land. But the people of God would say, well, what I want in this world, your whole world is nothing but a desert. So don't think about a real desert. Think about a place that doesn't offer something for the thirst of a devoted servant of God who is trying to find his way to establish what God wants for man as a life on this planet Earth. So the whole world is a desert, and the camel is the one that takes you through the desert. The camel knows where the water is. You can't see it, but the camel knows by instinct where the water is, and the camel will take you and stop. The one who knows camel, they know that if you don't see water, take a stick and dig. The water is down there. The camel knows that. So the water is here, and that's how they form an oasis. The camel takes them there. They can't see any water. They start digging the sand out and a little puddle from there. Eventually, if they continue to work it, it becomes a fertile spot and it bears life and it becomes an oasis. The Arabs, they are migrants and they go from oasis to oasis, but the camel doesn't always know to take you to an oasis where something is already growing. They are around the little water, but they know how to find water where nothing is growing. They take you there, and you dig, and you find water, and you drink from there, and you start making it a routine thing where you go there to get water, and pretty soon things start growing around that spot. I guess that's because they eat and they drop the seed there, and eventually something catches there, and after a while they have a beautiful little area. It's small, but an oasis is like a little garden in the desert. So the camel is not in the physical picture. The camel is in the head. So God has blessed man with the brain and the vision to deal with this material reality. But God has already given man intuitive power, whereby intuitive he can be taken to something that he is seeking by intuition. he can be guided or be taken to something that he needs or is seeking for his benefit. So this is the camel inside the man. The camel inside our makeup is that intuitive power. The camel has strong instincts and intuitive power for taking his masters where his master can find some help. So this is the camel. So Rachel is depending on the intuitive power more than anything else. The word Rachel has reference to the feet feathering on a bird, a creature that flies or that's situated to fly. If you take the feathers off of him, he can't fly. So those who are looking at these pictures of reality and come to a picture for the intuitive nature in the man, they give the camel as a picture of that power. This particular Rachel, she is the hope for this favorite people of God, and she is depending upon intuition and obedience to God, not just intuition for just any purpose. No, intuition and obedience to God. That's what she is riding herself. Behind her are horses, creatures that are just naturally made to follow in the spirit until they drop dead. They are very committed. That's what it means. Spiritually committed. They will drop dead before they stop obeying their master. That's a racehorse, isn't it? Behind the horse is a donkey. It's beautiful because it showed that she didn't forsake them. The ignorant, rebellious man, she didn't forsake him. He has them in the rear, bringing them up. But the Bible says that donkey is going to be transformed to man. I give a picture of Baal riding the donkey. And the time we thought that was a man riding the donkey, but that was the donkey's soul. The donkey was never a donkey to start with. The donkey was always a human being, a man to start with. But the world made him a donkey. The world made him a donkey, but not including him with the educated people, shutting him out, separating him from the educated people, and restricting his freedom to fate of a donkey. Or the life of a donkey, restricting his freedom to the life of a donkey and putting him in the rear. But really the main problem or the main cause of him being formed as a donkey, when really God created him a man, is that he did not respond to the need in his own soul for his elevation and progress. He didn't respond to it. The Bible says he saw an angel with a flaming sword. So he saw the word of God that can defend life and also take life. So the sword defends life and it also takes life. He saw the word of God having the power to defend life and also to take it. So he saw the word of God as a liberator and also as a destroyer. And when he saw it, he repented, and he realized that he had oppressed himself. As Abraham said, surely I have oppressed my own self. I have wronged or oppressed my own self. Abraham is a sign of how everybody comes face to face with their own reality and repent their own part in their own bad life, or bad faith. This is what the donkey does. So he sees God's word and his justice, and he feels convinced, and he repents his wrong, that he was done himself. and he came to liberate his own soul. So when he liberates his own soul, then the ignorant soul that he had before is not riding him. It is the new soul, the liberated, that's riding him. Then he asked Baal, why have you struck me these three times? The language seems that he is really having a complaint against Baal. So he is, but that Baal is his own soul. And he now is liberating from he is asking his own soul, why did you stick me these three times? As if to say, you defeated me in my nature. You defeated me in my mind. And you defeated me in my urge to find my destiny, to come home. In baseball, you have three bases. If you can get past three, you go home. But if you can catch him on any one of those three, he is out. So he says, why have you struck me these three times? Meaning, in my nature, in my mind, and in my purpose, or my destiny, you defeated me. He is questioning his own soul. Allah says, you question God. Why don't you question your own soul? Question your own nature, your own beginning. So that's the way to come to reality, question your own beginning. I said all that to say, we are now liberated. We are liberated, but we should be, especially the educated ones amongst us that are sincere and faithful, we should be questioning our own spiritual trials, and tribulation from slavery until we are right now. If we do that, we will come up with literature that can help all of our people. We were situated to free ourselves, and we did bring the white world to accept us and to accept that we be free. How come we are not enjoying freedom but still complaining? So let us research our trip and our travels up from slavery as a spiritual people under God, in the church and under God. Let us see what turn we made, what attracted us to get off the path, our religion's leaders to be devoted to the church, but not devotion to the liberation of the African Americans or the black people in America, like leaders were before. How come Dr. King had to be our last leader? Humanity is one, people are one family. So there are a new kind of slavery. It's not the one imposed upon us by segregation or by the two laws in the United States, or a slave law for us in the South and one for the white folks. That's gone. We don't have that anymore. So it's obvious that we need a new kind of struggle or liberation. So we need really the knowledge of our own spirituality, and what has happened in our own spirituality and our own to take us off course, divide our energies, and despair our productive forces so that they are not united anymore and not serving the African American people anymore, but just were working here and there in little places and being satisfied. What we need to discover is that the problem is in the group soul. Every people that has experienced life over the generation, they have a group soul, a collective soul, We have lost that group soul, and we need to see what happened over this period of time with Dr. King. And after him, what happened that he goes away and we have no more leader? We can find the answer. The answer is in our experience in this real world, in these neighborhoods, in this cultural environment. The answer is in our experience up from the time until now. Inshallah, God willing, this can be documented. It can be put on paper, and it can give us insight into what the real problem is, that we stop progressing as a people with the loss of Dr. King. If we are progressing as a people, it is because of just the world progressing for good opportunity for us in the world, like in the corporate world, and you can rise up in there. It's not black or white anymore. It's open diversity. So there are all of these good opportunities here. So individuals are progressing, and that affects the status of the many or the masses, but there is no movement. There is no leadership for all of our people anymore. If they are presented, they are so small, they are not seen, like myself. My leadership is always for that. But we are small. We are not seen. We are not reaching the many. And for what of a better word? The devil himself, Satan, is in the light of the people and their culture. And he is making it very difficult for any of them to pull away from the strong magnetism of this bad life, even recognize a person that's working in the place that I am with, you all, and a few others. They are not just me. So there are some Christians working hard, but they too are not seen. Nobody recognizes them. And if they are working hard on what we want, we are the same. We shouldn't separate ourselves from them, but we should realize that they are comrades in arms, and we should see ourselves as one force. But we need to liberate the soul of our people. If we can't liberate the soul of our people, they will never come again into that collective soul or that group soul and realize power of spirit and power for better changes in their life. They realize that under the people that they believe in, the leaders that believe in it, like Dr. King for us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in this time past, we had that sense of soul force, and it was the soul force of the spirituality of the whole group. They shared one spirituality, one soul force, and we shall be there. The constitution for the soul now is different from the constitution that was needed in the soul of that past. Even Dr. King, though he was a Christian and a peacemaker, but the constitution of the soul is different. The constitution for the time of the soul of the African-American people who still have not reached the destiny. We not reach our destiny. The constitution is quite different. The constitution now is enlightenment for community liberation, Really, that's what it always was. That's what it always has been. A need for community liberation in the South as servants of the white man or his white world, white South, plantation slavery, or whatever you want to call it. Even after slavery, the life in the South It was a people who couldn't advance as a community. If the white slave master like you will laugh, you could advance as an individual. Some of them would even say, that boy there takes care of everything for me. If I didn't have that boy, I couldn't do a thing. Some of them would even acknowledge that the slave that was helping them was really the factor for their survival and progress. So the situation wasn't the need for the individual liberation. It was for a need for the liberation of the people in their community life or in their neighborhood life. That was the need. Salatullahu Ladin, surely Allah. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. inshallah. It only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Imam Dr. Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.